I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. That's the truth.
Amen. He is our everything. Amen. So money can't compare. Goals, riches, kingdoms. Amen. He's everything. We're going to try the song, This Joy That I Have. Amen. We're going to put it on the board if our brothers can do that. It says the world didn't give it to us. Certainly the world can't take it away.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing that.
This love that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh,
this love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The world didn't give it to me. Oh, this love that I have. Oh, the world didn't give it to me. Lord, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen. That's the truth. Hallelujah. This Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this Holy Ghost that I have, think about it, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this Holy Ghost that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen. This joy, hallelujah. This joy that I have, oh Lord, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, oh Lord, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Singing, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This love, hallelujah. Oh Lord, this love that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this love that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this love that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Singing, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This Holy Ghost. This Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this Holy Ghost that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Singing, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. This joy. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Singing, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. This joy, this Holy Ghost, this love. Amen. God is the one that gave it to us. And he did it. The world can't take it away. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to try the song, Draw Me, Lord. Amen. Just worship him. Let's invite him as we get our hearts ready for the word. Amen. He's the one that has to do the drawing. Amen. Draw me, Lord. We'll come running after him. If the brothers can project that back there. Draw me, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we'll try that in D. Hallelujah.
Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord, I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. You alone are all I need. for you are my destiny. In you alone are all I need. In you alone I am complete. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord, and I'll come running after you. You alone are all I need. Is that the truth? Hallelujah. For you are my destiny. You alone are all I need. In you alone I am complete. Amen. Let's sing it. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord. Just worship him. I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. Just worship him. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. You alone are all I need. For you are my destiny. You alone are all I need. Complete. Draw me once more. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. That verse once more. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you. Draw me, Lord. I'll come running after you.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, he's going to draw us by that word. Amen. That's certainly what I heard this morning, you know, that pull, drawing us by the word of God. You ready for the word? Amen. Let's sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart as we get ready for that. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, holy,
you love it.
Holy. High and lifted up, oh my.
everybody in the house of the Lord. You can be seated for a minute. Sister Regina has a testimony, so we'll have that and get it out of the way.
Happened in this church. I want to revisit the one that I shared with you all about my son and his accident. Now, Anna Roberts, and we need to revisit these just to be refreshed. Anna Roberts had an accident, car accident, and she went floating through the car like she was an astronaut. Josh has had one, and there was an angel in the car with him. What you don't know about my son, and this happened back in 2018, is this is the second one. The first one he walked away from, the car was totaled. This is the second one. And I want to magnify a couple of points here. I don't pray fervently for my son. When I was a scheduled C-section, Brother Dale and Sister Dale, you know the story, was at the hospital before I was. When they took him out of my stomach, I was serious when I gave him back to the Lord. And I believe that, and I stand on it. I pray for him now because I want this demon of alcoholism to leave him. Okay, but this was his accident back in 2018. I want to magnify, and you've heard this before, the Lord pays attention to every little detail. You can go ahead and flip, Brother Joe. Go ahead. Go ahead. And go ahead. Okay, right here. He walked away from this. Let me tell you something. He went out to Atlanta to hang out with some buddies to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. He thought he was going to go up 85 and go visit a friend in South Carolina. He fell asleep for I don't know how many miles on that highway. Ran into the, whatever that guardrail, hit the sign, the highway sign, turned over I don't know how many times, slid off the embankment. He was worried about, this is how mindful the Lord is, he was worried about, he had an overnight bag, all of the toiletries, brush, soap, everything. We went back to the scene, was out there in the grass. He was worried about a pair of pants. I think he had like $500 cash in those pants. We went to the junkyard. Guess what? Those pants were in the trunk with the money intact. God pays attention to every detail, people. But young people, pay attention to this. This boy has walked away twice. Car's totaled. The boy ain't had a scratch nowhere. Please pray for your people and believe. Like I said, I don't pray fervently for him. I just believe when he took me out. I was laying on the table in the hospital and I gave him back as soon as they took him out. And that's what I stand on. Okay.
Amen. Amen and amen and amen. There's many, many things that has transpired among this little group that we're very proud of and very honored to be a part of the Bride of Jesus Christ, because that's what we count ourselves to be. Let's stand together. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Genesis 2. And we'll read from Genesis 2, verse 4 through 8. Father, we thank you for the day and the grace that you've given unto us. Thank you for all the testimonies and the things that we've heard about you today, Lord, because it's all in you anyway. We ask you to just be with each and every one of us. Forgive our sins, lead us by thine understanding, and keep us in your love. And Father, just have your way. Be with Wade and them traveling back this afternoon, and may your love and grace be with each one. Remember all the sick ones here, that the things that Satan has placed upon us. And we ask you to just remove it in your love and grace. Forgive our sins, cleanse us, and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis 2. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now remember our point and the thought we were bringing up to this, that when it says like that in the generation, that that man was created on the sixth day. We know that. But seemingly when you get over to this point, it sounds like he's on the seventh day. But it's not. It's describing the generations. It's describing what's taking place, not the person being born. Okay, watch now. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had caused it had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went out a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils and he the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You leaving now? There's one thing you got to admit around here. We've got everything could be thought of. We got a Sasquatch, a Bigfoot. Because I came out of the office there a minute ago, around through the front, cut it a little too short, and there was a 14-inch foot went between my legs, and I went stumbling. But, just kidding. But we do have a lot of things around here. Yeah. Remember now, Wade will be is ministering for Brother Dutch this afternoon or today, and I'll remember the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday. It'll be an Alabama member. Brother Bob will be ministering for us this coming Wednesday. So keep these in mind. Now, the other part about the children's and the Bible studies and things, they can get all of this straight and make it run to the right place. Okay. Now, I want to say this in the right way and have it to be understood. I've always tried to preach for 40-something years, I guess, one true and living God. And, you know, I've tried to do that because I believe it. And, you know, and in doing it, maybe sometimes you get misunderstood, especially when you're making statements and, you know, you're ministering across, you make a statement and people will, instead of taking that statement and placing it, they want to make that statement say something else or make it in the order. But I've always tried to preach one God. Because I believe that, you know, ever since coming into message, Baptist doctrine is basic one true and living God, with this God in three persons and all like that. But after coming into the message and beginning to see the message for what it was and, you know, the bringing forth of the real true understanding where the prophet would say, said, he's not the third person. He's not the second person. He said, he's not even the first person. He said, he is the person, you know, explaining one true and living God as to who he is and the way and all like that. Now, we know that God in the beginning, according to Christ the mystery of God revealed, he had a plan and purpose, and he was going to see that achieved, which was to make himself known to his creation. He created mankind. And then he was to come forth, and the way he would do, he would make himself known or revealed to his very creation that he had created. All right. And in doing that, see, then it picks up a lot of wonderful, beautiful pictures because, see, God, like I said, Brother Brown said, Christ the mystery of God revealed that God had a plan and a purpose. All right. And he said he was going to see it achieved. All right. What was his plan and purpose? To bring forth mankind into the earth in a way that would not be derogatory, not be in any way wrongly saying it, but would be the correct way of it being. And he would bring those things forth and showing it. And it would reveal his plan and his purpose. All right? See, his plan and his purpose was to reveal himself, okay? Are we with that now? To reveal himself to the very creation that he created. So what a wonderful thing he done. And I want you to follow this and listen to me. And then if there's questions, ask me later about these things, okay? So there in the garden, God created man, all right? In creating man, he created him in his own image. He made a spiritual man, we know that. And then he made a physical man. He made a Genesis 1 man, the spirit man. Then Genesis 2, where we picked up here and coming on over into doing, he brings forth a physical man and puts him in the garden. All right? And in doing that, see, then now you've got God's way of doing things so perfectly in order, because he creates the man in his own image. All right? Then he creates the natural man more into the animal image, you know, to be into that form and looking and acting and all. And he would bring it forth and he would create man. In creating that man physically, then, see, he would bring forth in the garden what would be, and that's what I've always tried to explain to you, is what God was doing in the garden is showing exactly what he wants to do. He showed his plan, his purpose, everything right in the garden, in the creation. See, all right, in doing that, then he created man, all right? He made him a human being, all right? Now, and this is what I've always tried to make, and I want to make sure you understand me, not that you believe me. I've never asked nobody to believe me. I ask you to ask God what is truth, and you go from that point, all right? So when he created the man in the garden, in that man was his perfect plan, and especially the way he made him, because he made the man out of the dust of the earth. You know, the woman that was in the man, we'll cover that in a minute, but yet he made the man to be exactly what he wanted. All right? Now, he made Adam in the basis of a body, a spirit, and a soul. A being. A person. All right? And in making him body, spirit, and soul would fulfill his total plan of the way that he wanted it. Because he did not make Adam's body eternal. He didn't make it eternal. He made it as a 16-element man. All right? So now he's showing what he wants to do. All right? Then you talk about the man. The man is a triune being. He's body, spirit, he's soul. All right? So then as he created the man, in that he saw what he created there as the body, not to be eternal, because that would show what he's going to do. That would show the way he was going to create. All right? Now remember this one point. You can't create anything eternal. Now don't forget that statement. It'd be well done to just write it down. You cannot create anything. God cannot create anything eternal, because that would be his away from his doing, you know, to make it. Now, you say what we received, that's impartation.
Right. Amen.
As we'll get to it in a minute, where we'll say the prophet said that Adam was this, that, and the other. There's a difference in impartation of what God is doing or dividing himself than to think about a creation. When I think about God and his ways of doing, I don't think about a physical creation or a creation. I think about what he's doing for what he wanted to do. See, he wanted there in the garden to display his attributes, correct? Are we with them? Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He wanted to display his attributes. Attribute to be a savior, healer, all kind of things that was in his, in him to be an attribute. All right. Now, he couldn't create an eternal person. See? Because that would be, you know, against what he's doing. So what did he do? He created a man. He put the man in the garden. There he was in body. He was a man. That was the way he had his plan and purpose. Why? Because that away then, see, he can display his attributes. Are you with me? Amen. He wanted to display his attributes, healer, savior. How could he do that without something being lost? How could he be a savior without something being lost? See? So think with me about what he's doing. And you'll see the beautiful plan of redemption come into view to show us exactly what his plan and purpose was. All right? You say, well, he can do what he wants to. He cannot go contrary to his own word. Now, that should be one thing that you ought to get into your mind and dwell deep into it, that God can't go against his word. So when he says what he's going to do, he does it. It's finished in that part. So there he was in the garden. God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. You say, well, he created Adam, I don't know about Eve. Well, Eve was in Adam. And if we get time to bring it out, if not, we'll bring it out later. Brother Branham said Eve was in Adam in theophany. All right? You say, well, I don't know how about because why? Because they were one in the garden. He made them one. She was part of Adam, right? All right, but think about what I'm saying now. He created Adam to be exactly what he would want it to be. Thereby, by creating him a human mortal body, he then could come into being Redeemer, Savior, Healer, etc. Right? Because he created a human mortal body. He made something to where that he could use that to display his total attributes. All right? So he created Adam, put him in the garden, put Eve there in Adam, finally took Eve out of Adam, made her into another part and to be in part of Adam. See, then she was, as Brother Brown said, she was a very part of him. You know, he said, it's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. All right? See? Now, so then God is starting his plan to bring it forth his attributes. Are you following me? So then by creating Adam that way, had he made the soul of Adam eternal, how would you have had a redeemer? He said, well, wait a minute now. I mean, excuse me. Had he created the body of Adam? I mean, you wouldn't have had it. Forgive me stumbling, but just think. Had he created the body of Adam eternal, he would not have been able to use in no redemptive. Amen. Are you with me on that now? Had he created Adam's body eternal? Because there wouldn't have been no way to have brought a healer, savior, etc. All right, so he creates his body mortal. Huh? A human body. Okay? Into that body he puts a spirit. And then as we'll get into blasphemous name, then he gets into putting the eternal life into Adam. But remember, as I said now, keep in mind, don't deal with creating eternal. Deal with impartation, because that's exactly what God did in the garden. God imparted his own life into Adam. You following me? He imparted his own life straight into Adam. He didn't make him. He imparted it and brought it into being to where that it could be. Okay. Now, So we find Adam in the garden, part of God's original plan to bring forth healer, savior, redeemer, etc. So he makes him mortal. You know, not eternal in the body. Okay? Now, so Eve comes into being. Eve was in Adam. Right? Part of him. Okay. Now, so then what happens there? God put, to start with, his part that he wanted to be brought into being to, for her to help out to be, he put that into Eve in making her body not eternal. Had he made her body eternal, you'd be in the same shape. See, you'd be running out wrong. So just keep the whole thing running straight, and you'll get the picture. It may take a while. If not, I'll do it next week. I don't care. Because I've always tried to teach this, and if I'm misunderstood about it, I want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying. All right? So he never created Adam's body eternal. He didn't create Adam's spirit eternal.
That's right.
Huh? Right. He placed within Adam what he was planning on making.
Right.
A human being that would be body, spirit, as mortal beings.
Right.
Capable of falling. Right? Huh? See, then he puts them in the garden. We go through the story of all of the things. But yet, what does he do? He takes Adam and he places him in a position so that he can manifest now his attributes. So Adam and Eve are in the part of to be able to manifest the attributes of the living God. All right, I hope you follow that point and keep that in your thoughts. Because that'll help us in the beautiful picture as we see it going along. All right. But he didn't create Adam's body eternal. He didn't create his spirit eternal. He didn't create his soul. So you thought you were going to catch me when I come down to the creator. No, listen. Mm-mm. He never created his soul. Adam was a part of God. Adam was a part of God in the original creation. In the original bringing forth. So don't get thinking, well, wait a minute, now you're bringing out. No, his body was not eternal. His spirit was not eternal. But his soul was eternal because of what God done. Now he's got what he needs. A child of God. He's got a son of the living God standing in the garden. And leaving it to where he can be used at that. All right? You say, well, I don't know. Okay, let's read a little bit. Go to number two on your notes, brother. Blasphemous names. Now listen to what your prophet says. But get what I'm saying now. In body, he was not eternal. In spirit, he was not eternal. God imparts his life into him in his soul.
Right. Amen.
Not that he creates a soul. Not that he makes one. You don't have to do it. Let God impart
right.
eternal life. Okay? Now look what he says. Then why would we struggle for eternal life, talking about the eternal parts coming down, breathing and all? But God, especially upon Adam, breathed the breath of eternal life. And he became an eternal person with God. He had power like God. He was an amateur God. He was God of the earth. Not God of heaven now, God of the earth. Because someday the sons of God will again become gods. Back to where it's supposed to be. But are you listening? What God did, he breathed the breath of eternal life. Amen. Then he become a living soul. A soul that can't die. See? We're going to get into it and, honey, clean up their elbows, as he said. So now listen. See, he become an eternal soul. So now are you going to argue with the prophet? You say, well, I don't know whether the prophet, what's that, you know. No, the prophet said, Adam, God breathed into his nostrils and he become a living soul. All right. Now, watch as we go along. Go ahead to the next one. This is number two, which is still part of that one, going into two and three. All right. The church is the mystical body of Christ, born to the breath of God. See, one of these days we'll get back to preach on that, okay? The church of God is born to the breath of God. God breathed breath into the nostrils spiritually of Adam, and he became a living soul. A living soul with eternal life. All right? Go ahead to the next one. Now we can see why the redeemed, these are, excuse me, wait a minute, that one. We're jumping one ahead. I don't want to use that one. Back up. Back up to, I want to make sure that we get back on up one more. I don't want these to get lost. I want this, if I got to repeat it, and we will repeat it. Why would we struggle for eternal life? But God specially upon Adam breathed the breath of eternal life, and he became an eternal person with God. Now, is that enough to know and to see that Adam's soul was eternal? Now, his body and his spirit wasn't. But his soul was eternal. Now, listen to what I'm saying over and over again. Breathed upon him. Do you realize the day, we'll get back to these when we get it. You realize the day you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God breathed into your nostrils the breath of eternal life. He didn't put it in your body and spirit now, because it wouldn't be right. But when he gives you the new birth, that new birth is eternal life. Huh? And it's not a creation. It's an impartation. All right. Well, okay, just think about it. God, instead of creating something, putting it there, he just imparts his own self. By the new birth, he imparted his own life into your soul. Making your soul eternal. Huh? Now, that doesn't make your body and spirit eternal. You have to come to the times of what it's supposed to be, but now think about what he's saying. All right? Especially. Okay, go ahead now on up to 189. That's, yes, no, 30. The church is the mystical body born by the breath of God. Now look at the church, born by the breath of God. I'd ask you to read blasphemous names. Just read it over and over and over. Huh? Did you get it? Congregation says amen. The church of God is born to the breath of God. God breathed breath into the nostrils spiritually of Adam, and he became a living soul. Did you know the Pentecostal or the true Pentecostal church is born of the breath of God? You realize your new birth? You're born by the breath of God. He breathed into your nostrils. Remember in the scripture, right after the crucifixion, I believe it's right now, and then when he appears to the disciples, he stopped and he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Brother Brown said, now they didn't get it right then. He said they had to wait and go to Calvary, but he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." All right? Now think on these things. Think about what I'm saying. See, I know what a lot of people think, or I didn't know so many thought, but anyhow, that, and I don't mind putting it out because I leave everything to be where there's no doubt. It's thought that Adam was created, yeah, but that his spirit and his soul was eternal. Spirit and his body was eternal. All right? Now, if his spirit and his body was eternal, you got the doctrines up country up there. If his spirit and his body was eternal, see, then you've got to change something to make it fit. How are you going to get that soul involved? I'm asking you to simply think. The day you were born again, the prophet says you're born to the breath of God. Into your nostrils came the life of eternal life, because that's exactly what God wanted. God got in Adam what he wanted. A man, mortal being, body and spirit, to not be eternal, but soul to be eternal. All right? That's exactly what you are now. Come on. By the new birth, exactly now, you have eternal life in your soul, but your body and your spirit is not eternal. See? It's got to be made eternal. All right? And to do that, it's going to take a lot of understanding about the whole thing. To understand what's going on. See? I tried to explain it to her the other day about it. See, in the garden, then God created exactly in his plan. Adam was God's perfect masterpiece, as we'd call him. Except for one thing, or two things. He didn't have an eternal soul. I mean, body, and didn't have an eternal spirit. Because had he been created that way, he couldn't have no fall. All right? But see, now you've had the fall, you've had the things come forth, and you had that was the first Adam. The first Adam was standing there as soul eternal, body and spirit not eternal. The second Adam stood in the garden the same way. The Garden of Gethsemane. The second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was eternal in soul, but his body and his spirit was not eternal. That's where the difference of a lot of people believe it was. I don't believe it. I don't believe his spirit was eternal. I don't believe his body was eternal. Because he died. He died on the cross. Life left his body. He died. And Brother Branham said, and we got him here, we'll read him in a minute. He said he couldn't have went there with eternal life. See, he went there as a human mortal to face death. Huh? He gave his life. He said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He commended his spirit into the hand of Almighty God. His body, let me quote the prophet because I got him laying here. He said, in body he was a man.
Right. Right.
He said, but in spirit and soul he was Almighty God. Right. Amen. Why? Because can't you see that even though he was not in an eternal state of in his spirit, but yet within that spirit could still be Almighty God using him to work out his plan?
That's right.
His plan and his purpose was to be fulfilled. What? That he would die for mankind. And he can't die with the eternal spirit. He can't die with the eternal body. You see, yeah, now there's the point. I say, see, you grab it and you try to throw it back at me. You say, well, he died in Seoul. He didn't die in Seoul. You say, yeah, he didn't. No, he didn't. The life went right out of the body. He didn't die. He couldn't die. Life stepped out of the body and left that body hanging on a cross. Right? And he couldn't, if he'd have went there, now I'm quoting Brother Brown, we'll get to it in a minute, and if he'd have went there with a spirit in him, he couldn't do it. You know, an eternal spirit. So now let's get a little doctrinal. Because this is what I've always taught and what I believe. See, the prophet says, there in the River Jordan, he said the spirit came on him on the River Jordan. That's fine. Because it did. Because it was capable of doing that. That spirit, that anointing. See, the anointing came on Jesus as he was there on the river. But you know why it came there? It didn't come for the purpose of dying, because he couldn't die with that spirit. Huh? See, then in the Garden of Gethsemane, Brother Branham says, the spirit left him in the garden. Said because he had to die as a man.
Right.
What was that spirit? What was that? A better word he uses. There's two different wordings here. One of them uses spirit. One of them uses anointing. You realize what happened there? You realize that man come up there knowing he was going to die? He went up there knowing he was going to die and what he's going to have to do. And that anointing was on him. Now listen to what I'm saying. If you'll follow it, you'll follow a beautiful story. As long as that anointing that came on Jesus there on the river was on him, he couldn't die. Because that was the anointing of God. He couldn't die without anointing. So the anointing had to leave him. Brother Branham says it. He said the anointing left him in the garden. He said where he could die as a man. Anointing. What about an anointing that would come on a church? I was quoting it this morning. After the door of the Gentile church is closed, God will anoint a church. Then he'll do in 1 year what theologians tried to do in 2000, but said he's doing it now.
Right.
Do you realize, Brother Aaron, that anointing that came on you, I'll get back to this one day, that anointing that came on you, not as just an anointing as a human, not powerful enough. I don't know whether that's the right word or not. But see, that ministry that you're called to, or the fivefold ministry, you know, the fivefold ministry is predestinated eternally from God. I've proved it to you over and over, but you ain't listening. A fivefold ministry, true minister, now not talking about the garbage cans, a true fivefold ministry is predestinated eternally from God. Because it's a gift. The fivefold ministry is a gift. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Jesus Christ, till we all come to that place.
Amen.
You realize then what I'm saying, as long as that predestinated gift is on you, you can't die. Because he couldn't die. Long as that anointing was on him, they could do anything they wanted to and tried to, but there was no way that they could kill him. But it was after that anointing came on him. that he was put to that position. Because you see, he was born Lord the Christ. I know the doctrines and the issues of people and where they bring it. He was born Lord the Christ. He didn't have to become God. He was born Christ. The Bible said the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was born the Christ. As a baby, Brother Brown said of Jehovah crying in a cradle. Says, you're God with no teeth. But just remember, when he was here from the time that he started from that little baby until it went to the garden, he was capable of dying because he was a mortal being. His soul was eternal because it was an impartation. His body and spirit was not eternal. You say you don't believe Jesus' body was eternal? No, I don't. I believe it had to be made eternal in the resurrection. See, because he didn't become God on the River Jordan. He was Almighty God. He was born Lord the Christ. He was born to be the Savior. He was born all that. But he had to be, see, it had to be to a place that something would take place. And his ministry, when it struck him there on the river, it set a ministry in motion that Satan couldn't handle. But it's also, if you have the new birth tonight, today, that soul of yours is eternal as it'll ever be. Amen. You agree with that?
That's right.
It's as eternal as you'll ever be. That's what your prophet had to say. All right, if it is, then you can't die. You can't die until God allows Satan to take your life. He can't take it. He can't hinder you. Oh yeah, he can make you sick. He can do this, that, and the other. And we do, and I'm sorry the way I am of the human element, but we blame the devil for everything. You know, I'm sick. I tell you what, devil's really been after me because he's made me sick. Why don't you just admit it? You might have made your own self sick. You ate too much. Right? We blame the devil for everything. Why blame him for it? Blame ourselves for what we are.
Right.
We're human beings. Satan cannot take you until God gets through with you.
Amen.
That's your words of your prophet. He can't touch you until he gets through with you, then he can do it. Why? Because that's part of the plan and purpose. Part of what we're talking about. There was the man standing in the garden. A man named Adam. A human element. Body, spirit, and soul. Standing in the garden. And then what happens? God breathes the breath of eternal life into the nostrils of Adam, and he becomes an eternal person in soul.
Amen.
But not in the rest of him now. He's still mortal. He's subject to death. He's subject to dying.
Right.
Huh? See, you say, but I always thought that Jesus' spirit was eternal. If his spirit was eternal, then how could he die? How can he die if his spirit is eternal? So on Calvary, what did he say? Now listen, get my point. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the spirit leaves him. You want to read that? In the garden, the spirit leaves him.
Amen.
What was in him when he was hanging on the cross? When he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit.
That's right.
He was hanging on the cross. He gave up his own life. That's the beautiful part of what I see of redemption, is there's nothing out of force or making us do anything. It's what God has done. He set in motion all of these things to make us to work. We could realize what we're doing here. You realize my whole point of what I'm driving at, been driving at 40 years or more, is one thing. That eternal life that you receive in your new birth is the most important thing you could ever think of in life, when any word or any thought. That you could receive the life of Almighty God to come and dwell within you and give you a new birth. See, we want to make it this way, we want to make it that. No, it's not. It's just leaving it to Him. But if you don't think of nothing else, remember the point I'm getting. Don't take creation. Right? Take impartation. God imparted His life. I like the way Brother Moat used to describe impartation. He said, you cut up an apple, give it out, and said, you run out of apple, you run out of God. Well, see, he was saying, I don't agree with that. Well, I don't either. I just know one thing. The more you pass out, the more comes back. The more of God that is passed out, the more of God comes into existence. Come on, can we even go back to where that they were standing there with the fish? And he would take the fish and break it and hand it out. The bread and break it and hand it out. Did they ever run out? And one time they took up 12 barrels or baskets up from more than what they started with. The more God gives out, the more He comes into reality. See? We should say, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see redemption. As I said, to look back in the garden and see what God's plan and purpose was. To bring that man. Now listen. To bring that man into being. But to bring that man to a position that he could fall. He brought Adam to a condition that he could fall. But he knew he was going to redeem him, because whatever Adam lost, Jesus Christ restored.
That's right. Amen.
Adam was the first Adam. Jesus Christ is the second Adam.
Right.
See, then he could come and he could give his own life.
Yeah. Right.
He could give his own life, that it would leave him enough to where it could come in you and I and impart eternal life. See, the point is, you say, but you're sure that you don't believe that Adam's spirit was eternal? No, I don't. I don't believe Adam had an eternal spirit. I believe he had a body and a spirit of mortal life. And then God breathed into his nostrils. And he became a living soul, an eternal person with God. Read blasphemous names over and over till you get the story that he's talking about. The complete plan of redemption lays forth into Adam, that Adam would come into the world, and that Adam would be that God would need to carry out his plan and purpose to finish it all. That Adam could give his life. He said, well, he did, but not give his life like God had his giving. No. Adam's life just simply left him in the part of where it was not needed anymore.
Right.
But Jesus Christ could not give that up. He could not give his life up that way. So he imparts his own life. Well, you say, yeah, but let's see, there's a quote here where he said, but Brother Branham said he, Adam died. He said, yeah, but he had a lamb. Amen. To take his place.
That's right.
The lamb that died before the foundation of the world. The lamb that took our place. The complete plan of redemption stands forth in Adam and his doing. Eve. What about how wonderful she was? She was part of him in the beginning, in the creation, in the theophany. She was part of him down here in this creation. She could not be divided in another creation. She had to be made in the same creation. Eve and Adam were one. That's exactly why Christ and church had to be the same, very same person. It could not be another different. Church is wonderful to see the picture. Go ahead, let's read these where nobody that won't argue the point about it. Go ahead over to number 13. This is taken from the adoption series. It'd be paragraph 88, right? In the Garden of Gethsemane, the anointing left him. You know, he had to die as a sinner. Why'd the anointing leave him? He had to die as a sinner. How could he die as a sinner if he had an eternal spirit left of him? You know that? Not his sins, but mine and yours. That's where that love come in. How he took mine, and hallelujah, how he took mine. So what happened? In the Garden of Gethsemane, the anointing left him. Okay? The anointing now, he called it that. Now listen to what we're going to next. Now go to the rising of the sun, number 14. Remember the other, he said the anointing left. Here he says the spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. Remember, friends, he didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh, and he didn't. If he'd have went up there as God, he'd have never died that kind of death. Can't kill God, but he didn't have to do it. One time he called it the anointing, one time he called it the Spirit of God. I believe that. It's the Spirit of Almighty God, the anointing that came on him down there on the River Jordan. They said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Right? He started his ministry right there. He started his ministry on the River Jordan. And he went forth all of those 3.5 years in that ministry. Then he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and the anointing leaves him.
Right.
Amen. Let me say it this way to you. You realize that David knew one day he was anointed to be king, didn't he?
Right.
You ever thought about it? You realize that the day he was anointed to be king, David knew he wasn't going to die till he was king, sitting on the throne. You don't think like that? He knew he wasn't going to die. But oh, the day he walked upon there as king, from then on there wasn't no promise. Right? So get the whole story. He knew he couldn't be killed. He wasn't afraid of Goliath. He wasn't afraid of all of them. And I think they said Goliath had, what, 4 more brothers? Why, he said, come on, I'll take them all. He wasn't scared of none because he could not be killed until he went to the throne as king. You realize Jesus Christ knew what he was doing voluntarily to give his own life. Because he knew you and I was the one that was going to die. You couldn't kill him. But he could still kill us. But now if we ever come to the place of realizing who we are and what we're doing here, he can't kill us.
Right. Amen.
Oh, brother. Give me a church full of the Holy Ghost. God will do in 1 year what theology, or how you pronounce that, failed to do in 2,000 years. You wait till the anointing of the church really strikes home to that faithful, the little remnant. Now watch him. After the doors of the Gentile church is closed, oh, God will anoint a church then. He that's filthy, let him be filthy. He'll anoint a church with the power of God and things will take place. Not only that, but he's doing it now. He's doing it now. He's anointing his church.
Right.
If the church would just believe it and accept it.
Amen.
See? You say, well, Brother Dale, you're not afraid of ministering. You're not afraid of doing. And no. Because until he's true with me, ain't no way the devil can get me. He can't do it. He can't get me until God gets through. And when God gets through with me, I'm through anyway, ain't you? Who wants to stay around here after it's over with? Uh-uh. See, I want to be here to see the bride. I'd like to be here to see that at the end. Because I've preached it all the way down through. That was taken from the message of questions and answers in 54. I've quoted that for 40 years. That God would do in 1 year what theologists tried to do in 2000. What? He's going to anoint a church. Do you realize what that anointing has to meaning? You realize in Daniel 70 weeks, when it finishes up, the anointing will strike the temple that's built in the millennium. And you know who that anointing is? You. That's what your prophet says. He said, you are the anointing to the temple. Why would we worry about dying or failing or doing? No. This will be what we are. One more time, then we'll go. I want to make sure you understand where I stand. I believe Adam stood in that garden as a body and a spirit, as a human mortal. God placed his own breath into him and made him a living soul with eternal life.
Right. Amen.
There's the first man, Adam. The second man, Adam, was the Lord Jesus Christ that was born a baby and received the spirit of life. But within him was eternal life.
Right.
He didn't have to become eternal. He was eternal. God imparted his own life into that baby. And that baby didn't have to worry about a thing until he was through with him. Me and you don't have to worry about nothing. There's no death, no things can take us until God gets through with us. Why? Because he's anointed us. He's anointed a church with the anointing of eternal glory. It's placed there to where we can become the children of God. Adam was God's example child. You and I are God's example children.
Right. Amen.
All made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Think on these things. Come on, musicians. Think on these things. If you don't understand what I'm saying, I mean, I'm humanly say things and twist up words. I'm sorry about that. That's just human. But I'm just trying to get us to see what the whole story of redemption is. has already been made out, laid out before us. All we got to do is follow it. All we got to do is accept what he said and follow it. And just walk right into eternity. Because as we read from the prophet there, someday it will happen. All right? When are we going to say it's going to happen? See, not that it's going to happen or whatever. I don't look at things like that, and you know it. I look at it what's taking place right now. If we just realize who we are and what we're doing here. The prophet said, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's, he said, Satan will be powerless before her. Well, this is probably the stand up, just say it. Satan, you ain't going to get me, like I told Aaron. Until God's through with that ministry, I'll get back to that one of these days with the fivefold ministry. Because I believe what your prophet said, that the fivefold ministry is predestinated eternally from God. You say, well, the rest of us are too, predestinated, right. But you're not a gift. A fivefold ministry is a gift if you'd accept it. But it's not yours if you won't accept it. This is like anything else. What do we got, brother? Let's stand. Sisters are supposed to meet downstairs to discuss their time together that they're setting forth. So just make sure you go down and, you know, and talk it out and get everything set in order, all right? Father, we thank you for today, and we pray that you would just bless us with your love and understanding. We need you so much. We need your grace. We need your guidance. We need you, Lord. And we just ask you to be with us. Be with us on the way home. Everybody give a safe journey. Wade and June and them coming home and all the others. And just bless and guide each one. Forgive our sins and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Holy Grail.